Welcome, everyone, to the Veterans News Hour with David Corey and Richard Hurley, a national news and talk program dedicated to military veterans issues. And now, your hosts, David Corey and Richard Hurley.
Good evening. Welcome to the Veterans News Hour for Monday, October the 4th, 2021. This is Air Force veteran David Corey, along with Richard Hurley. We have lots of news and information this evening, so please stay tuned. First, though, let's go over to Richard Hurley. Hello, Richard. How's it going?
Good, David. Everything's going well. I hope out there everybody's doing well and still coping with the everyday challenges in the world and COVID. I know my fiance was just laid up for just about 2 weeks with COVID, and she's vaccinated, and it was a pretty tough time for her. So remember, people, many veterans out there, there are so many groups that are there to help veterans, and you know, you need to take a look at these websites. You know, David and I constantly promote different websites to help veterans. So check them out. People out there, remember, we need to help our veterans. We're getting close to Veterans Day, so it's a good time to start thinking about how you can help your neighbor, a veteran. You know, one of the things I always say to people is, you know, if you see them sitting there having a meal, a little breakfast or lunch, you can always tell them apart from the rest of the people there, because they usually have a hat, a Vietnam vet hat or a Marine hat or something that shows that they're a veteran. Just go over and pick up their tab, you know, that little affirmation, and thank them for their service. It means so much to these men and women who've served our country. But remember, this is a show that we'd like everyone to call into. You can call in, tell us what your thoughts are about what's going on in the VA, what's going on with your own case. That number is 1-888-627-6008. And let us know your views and comments, and if you have any questions at any time during the show, give us a call at, again, 1-888-627-6008. Before I turn it back over to David, I just want to let you know I had four DVA hearings today, and I had an interesting discussion with one of the judges, and she told me not to mention her name, so I won't. But she indicated, and this is just a little tip for any representatives or lawyers who are listening to the show, that from now on, that if during a hearing you want to withdraw one of your claims, you have to do it in writing. They'll put it on the record, and that's what I've always done in the past, and just get the veteran to agree that they're knowingly and voluntarily withdrawing a claim. And they're still going to do that, but you still need to, somewhere in the body, maybe in your legal brief or in the cover of your facts, you have to indicate with the docket number that you are withdrawing that claim. And ironically enough, the next hearing I had, we were withdrawing a claim, and that judge didn't even mention anything about putting it in writing. She just we just put it on the record, and I didn't bother to, you know, ask her if she wants me to put it in writing, which I'm going to do anyway. But, you know, there's an interesting situation, David, where one judge is telling me one thing, and then an hour later, another judge, we do the exact same thing, and we're not doing what the first judge said. So, wow. You know, a lot of crazy stuff going on. You know, just an example of why, you know, you need to dot your I's and cross your T's and be very, really focus on your cases and make sure that, yeah, you do everything you need to do, because, you know, there's all these little twists and turns through the whole VA, BVA system that could affect the ultimate outcome of your claim. And we want all you veterans to be successful, so let's make sure that we do what we need to do. Now, let's go back to David.
Okay, thanks for everyone listening tonight. We have basically, our show is in two halves. The first half is going to be devoted to an issue that a lot of veterans are affected by, and that's hearing loss and also tinnitus, or as some people refer to it, tinnitus. I've heard people refer to it both ways, and each claim that's the correct pronunciation. basically like a buzzing or constant noise in the ear. But those are conditions that affect a lot of veterans due to the high level of noise exposure that many veterans endure in the military service. And we have three tapes thanks to the VA's SITREP program. Now, you can watch these videotapes. We're going to have the audio portions tonight on the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs, the VA YouTube channel, the SITREP Situation Report Program, a lot of interviews, and these three audio tapes tonight are courtesy of that VA program. They all involve interviews by a Navy veteran named James Christie, who interviews Dr. Ellen O'Neill, an audiologist who works for the VA. All three interviews have a lot of information about hearing loss and tinnitus, so let's go ahead and get started. In this first tape, Dr. O'Neill discusses how veterans can get tested at the VA for hearing loss, and then what can they expect in that process. So, Doug, if you'll please roll the first tape.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the SITREP. I'm joined today by Dr. Ellen O'Neill, and she's going to discuss with us hearing aids. How are you?
I'm good.
Thanks for coming in today.
You're welcome.
So, a veteran's got some hearing loss, and they want to come in. What's the process for that?
So in the VA, veterans can self-refer. So as long as you're enrolled in the VA, you can just call us, make an appointment, and we'll get you taken care of.
And what's my appointment look like? What are we going to do?
So what you're going to do is you're going to come in. We're going to take some history information, find out what kind of noise exposure you had in the service, which is quite variable. What other things might be affecting your hearing, family history, middle ear history. Did you have a lot of ear infections when you were a child? Things like that. And then what other noise exposures might you have? What other health conditions do you have? Things that would influence your hearing. Then we'll do a hearing test. Now, the hearing test has two parts. Mm-hmm. The first part is, how loud do I need to make things for you to hear them? Mm-hmm. That's the raise your hand when you hear the beep part. Okay, so we're looking for the very softest sound you can hear, and that gets us into the ballpark for what you're going to need. The second part of the hearing loss involves clarity. So that is, once I know how loud I need to make things, what do you do with them when you hear them? What does, between your ear and your brain, what happens? So we have you repeat a series of words. You know, you will say house. And you say house. And we score that. We get a percent correct. And that gives us a sense for how well you're able to use what you hear.
Okay.
Some people will score close to 100. Other people will score in the 40s.
And I'm at that 40 range.
Well, it's a challenge.
Yes.
It's a real challenge. And it depends a lot on the type of hearing loss you have and the degree of hearing loss you have. And, you know, we'll just figure out what we need to do for you from there. Then we talk about hearing aids, assistive listening devices, communication strategies, all of the different things that can help you out.
You have questions? We have answers. The SITREP is your trusted source for veterans benefits information with expert analysis and interviews with leaders from the field. To find past shows, podcasts, and other content, search hashtag the SITREP on YouTube.
Yeah, thanks to the VA for that tape. Now, we're going to continue in this series of three tapes courtesy of the VA. In this next tape, Dr. Ellen O'Neill will explain in more detail the different types of hearing aids offered by the VA. This obviously is important once a veteran has been diagnosed with some sort of a hearing loss. What can you do about it? So, Doug, if you'll please roll the second tape.
Now, being the VA, of course, we don't have technology or anything, so are we still giving out those little horns? Is that how it works here? Because, you know, that's how people think sometimes.
That's what people think,
And
yes.
I know better personally because, again,
yes.
I wear them, and
yep.
I couldn't be happier. But you brought us a few
the
things,
way we,
and
yep,
let's talk
I've,
about
I
those.
Brought a few examples. So the way we handle it in the VA is there are five companies that we deal with, mm-hmm. five different manufacturers, and everything we fit is top of the line. We don't play around with the, you know, in the private sector, you have to worry about, well, this one's a little less expensive, so mm-hmm. we have to carry that. In the VA, We just go straight to the top of the line, so you're getting the latest and greatest in the technology. Right. And we've got various things depending on the situations you're in, depending on your hearing loss, of course, mm-hmm. and even things like your manual dexterity. Oh. We look at different things like that. And so we have different kinds of hearing aids. There are two basic kinds. There's the kind that goes up behind the ear right. and the kind that goes in the ear. Okay. So the one up behind the ear, let me show you the big one first because it's easier to see. So this big hearing aid, mm-hmm. this goes up in back of the ear, and then there's a tube that runs down and a thing that holds it in place.
Stabilizer.
Stabilizer, yes, to channel the sound mm-hmm. down into your ear and so the hearing aid doesn't fall off. The in-the-ear style is much smaller.
Oh, yeah.
It's custom made, so we take an impression of your ear so that it's going to fit you very mm-hmm. nicely. I say that with confidence, but we sometimes have to modify.
Sure.
But we can. That's okay. The good news. We can. They're both excellent styles of hearing aids. There are advantages and disadvantages to both. Some people find the single piece a little bit easier to work with as far as getting it in and out.
Sure.
The piece where there are two, there's a piece in and a piece behind. Sometimes a little trickier to get in. So especially someone with bad arthritis or an injured hand might have some trouble. As far as degrees of hearing loss, just about any degree of hearing loss can be fit with okay. either.
So it's all not right. so much one's better than the other. It's what's more comfortable or easier for someone
exactly.
to use.
Exactly. Okay. What's going to be more appropriate for you?
Sure.
Now, one of the big advantages recently, one of the biggest complaints we always heard was, changing those batteries is a pain in the neck.
Because they always go out in the middle of the meeting, or when you're driving somewhere and you don't have that, you have 15 spare sets in your car
right.
and you're down to none all of a sudden.
And you're down to none. Yep. You've got no batteries with you. My dad, a veteran, World War II, I can't tell you how many times he would say, my hearing aid, my battery's dead. I said, okay, so pull out the one I told you to carry all mm-hmm. the time.
Yep. And my father's the same boat.
Yep, same thing.
I started carrying his batteries. You know,
good for you.
Even my hearing aids, when I got my second set, it was a different battery, a bigger one. It's supposed to last longer. The
yep.
new ones now are the plugins. But
yep.
But I would always carry a set for me and a set for my father because inevitably one of two of us
One of you was going to need a battery change
yes.
always at the worst
yes.
possible
yes,
moment.
Exactly.
Yes. And you know, they flip out of your hand
yep.
and they go under the heaviest piece of furniture in the room.
And that little piece flipping in and out was way too easy to break.
Way too easy to break. You know,
yes.
you get a hand, a little hand like yep. this, no problem. Yep. You get a big hand, it's a problem. So our best advancement, which you already foreshadowed, is the rechargeable hearing aid. And these have been really popular. We can get them in both styles. In the behind-the-ear style, it's this little egg-looking
yep.
thing. It plugs in. You drop the hearing aid in there at night, charges up, you're done. You know, and you get...
And they pretty much run... Now, I listen to audiobooks because I drive a lot.
Yeah.
So I can use my Bluetooth, which is
Absolutely.
A wonderful feature also. And I'll notice... Yeah, 6 o'clock at night, maybe about that time, probably 12, 13 hours into my day,
yep.
I might start to lose them. But that's only if I've been listening
right.
to something for, like some cases, it's 4 hours on the road. Other than that, it's rare that mine run out
that
before.
They run out.
I mean, even
yeah.
when I'm up in bed watching TV or whatever, they will go and go, and then when I put them away at night, they're fine. But I get a full
you,
day of charge.
You get a full day. If you're not streaming, you'll get 16 to 20 hours.
Yeah.
Good long time. If you're streaming, of course, it's a much greater demand on the battery, so the time goes down. But the chargers are also portable now. They carry three charges in them, so you don't have to have it plugged into the wall, and you could charge the hearing aids three times. Or,
oh, wow.
You know, so that's even been an improvement exactly because of that, because we stream your phone, we stream your audio and,
yep, my
you know.
My books, my music, whatever
everything.
It's going to be now.
Yep, everything. We stream the television
yep.
in. We do one of the things that we fit with hearing aids. Sometimes a hearing aid all by itself isn't the complete answer.
Yes.
And so we have devices. This is a very nice little teeny tiny one.
You have one of those too?
You have one of these.
One of my favorites.
There you go. And you can use this to stream your TV, your stereo, your computer, anything you need. And look at the size of it.
Yeah.
It's teeny tiny. You can bring it with you, put it on the table, use it as a remote mic. Yeah. You can.
That's what I find very in a group setting, especially,
yes,
or at dinner table with multiple people, to have that in the middle and it fires off to whoever. So if you're talking to me, it shoots that way. If it's the person to my right, what a fabulous piece.
And it's a wonderful thing.
And I'm not
thing.
Hearing 15 things around me like I typically would.
Absolutely.
And even with the hearing aids, it's still difficult to hear things sometimes.
It's still
like
difficult,
that. So
especially
that
around
difference.
A table, yes, and you can't necessarily see everybody.
Right. We get back to, again,
yes,
I got to see your face when you
talk
to me.
We used to really say to them, okay, now you have to be very strategic about where you sit with things like this. You still have to be a little strategic,
sure,
because the lip reading is always going to help no matter what.
Yeah.
But things like this can really help.
Yeah, I'm very
like
impressed
that.
With those.
Yeah.
That disc,
this, we
sits
love
in
them.
All sorts of places for me.
And this is just one manufacturer,
yes,
one style. Yeah. All of the manufacturers have things like this, different shapes and sizes. And
we talked
terrific.
About Bluetooth.
Yep.
These are all Bluetooth capable
they
now, right?
They are all
right?
Bluetooth
and
capable.
So like you said, you can stream music. You can stream your TV nowadays if you've got a smart TV. You can sync it. I have mine synced to my car.
Absolutely.
Everything. And so when people laugh at me because I will get up sometimes and start talking. What are you doing? I got a call. And I just touch my ear, basically. I push the button. I answer my call. My phone's still in my pocket. I don't even have to look.
You don't even have to pull it out. Yeah. And here's the best thing. It streams to both ears.
Yes, correct. Yes. Which
makes it so much easier to hear.
Yep.
So it's that's been a wonderful improvement is the Bluetooth. And there are so many things we can do with it. And it's terrific. On top of that, every manufacturer has an app that you put on your phone.
Yes.
And you can use that app for changing programs. You can use it just as a volume control.
Right,
so you're not doing this.
Yep.
You know, you just, they think you're checking your email and you're turning up your hearing aid.
Yep.
Or you switch it to a different program because we can program them for, you know, say you're in a quiet environment, we set it wide open so you get everything.
Yep.
Face-to-face like this, it narrows down so that it's only focused on you, and that can be very helpful.
Oh, yes. Again, all these things I experience, and you're right. These are they're game changers. It's amazing.
They really are.
For somebody that hasn't done it, I would tell them, you know, in a heartbeat, go out and try this out, because I remember the first time when she fitted me, and I sat there with them, and she, you know, got on her computer and lit everything up, and I think she went behind me and rustled some paper, and I was like, "Oh my word!
You what know, is what? That?"
Yeah, I think even going back to my office, somebody had opened a bag of chips. I don't think I'd heard a crinkling like that
absolutely.
In years. And again, you just don't realize the loss of hearing that you're experiencing until something like this comes back.
Until
One of the other things I've heard from vets, I didn't like them. I didn't, and I always say, did you go back to have them refitted? Did you go back to ask them? And I encourage them all the time. No, don't, you know, because there's veterans out there, just because we're stubborn, you know, nope, they didn't work. And
they didn't work, and in the drawer they go.
Yep.
And that's a shame
because
if it's not working or if it's uncomfortable, you know, give us a call. Now here's an advancement that we've had. It was around, but during COVID, it has exploded. I can program your hearing aids at home from my office at the VA.
That's amazing. Right?
So you call me up and say, it sounds awful. Okay, log into this, log into that. Let me see what I can do. And we can get it fixed.
Now, do you see what they're experiencing kind of, or is it, I mean?
You do. You see what you're doing for the programming, and then we're usually doing it over the VVC, the Veterans Video Connect.
I see,
you have
yes.
to think of what that
yeah.
means. and so I can see you.
Yeah.
And at the beginning, the hardest thing was to get them to hold it in front of the camera. Say, well, my hearing aid is broken. Okay, well, let me see it. And they'd go like this.
Yeah,
no, higher. So it was interesting.
Yeah.
But it works well. Now, I will tell you that veterans are a group who want to come in and visit with you in person.
I agree.
Really don't want to do it over the video, and they can do that too.
Yeah, and that's great. The options are there for them, and I think that makes a big difference.
Yep.
And again, you've spoken to it. We're not using yesterday's technology. This stuff is – I've got friends. My father's a prime example because he refuses to go and get them elsewhere. He goes to Beltone or whoever and does his thing. And his are now probably 5-6 years old.
Right.
Oh, my God. The differences between them and what I'm
and
using.
And what you're using is
– and. Yeah, and but he's happy.
And a lot of times, if they're happy, leave them alone.
Correct, right. Can you hear me? More or less. Okay, I'll just get in front of you and talk to you then.
Exactly.
So we've done it. We've gone for another follow-up visit even because something didn't work right, and you've got me fixed up and going. 2-3 years down the road, should I expect am I coming in annually to be checked up on, or how does it work?
So different audiologists will handle that in different ways. So in general, hearing changes very slowly. Mm-hmm. So you really only need to be tested every 2 or 3 years. Now, sometimes I'll see somebody and they've had a big change in the last 2 or 3 years. So I'll say, I want you back in a year. Mm-hmm. Let's see what's really happening here. So generally every 2 or 3 years, which syncs up nicely with the 3-year warranty that you get on the hearing aid.
I see.
So at the end of the 3 years, if it's still working fine, you continue on with it. If it's not quite right anymore, we'll get you new ones. So at that point, a new hearing test, see exactly where you are, what might have changed, what did you like, what didn't you like, and we can move you forward.
And what do you do with that old set?
Most often, if it's still working, you hang on to it as your backup.
Right. So they'll kind of clean them up for you.
Yep, absolutely.
And that's why I went there with that. Because that's what I've done. Now I've got a second
set. You've
got
a backup set. Yeah.
Typically, when I travel, I take my spare with me, and I leave my others at home. And it just works out well. But that's, again, it's...
And it's perfect.
Who's doing that?
Yeah.
You know, nobody else out in town is saying, here, let's just give you another pair, and we'll give you the old ones.
And you keep these ones, and even, you know, as you're coming in, if the hearing aid gets full of wax, you know, you have to change the little wax guards. You have to this and that. They get full of wax. You come on in, an audiologist or one of our health techs will see you, clean the hearing aid. It'll be just like new. We'll replace the receiver if we need to. We'll replace the domes or the molds or whatever we need to do so that we keep you in functioning hearing aids.
And I can order some of those things myself, right? I can go to my Healthy Vet.
You can go.
Or is it?
It's not actually through my Healthy Vet.
Yeah.
You go, or actually, you know what? You've caught me with something I don't know the
answer
to. We'll
leave that alone. Let's cut that part
out. Usually, so what happens is when you get the stuff in the mail, it comes with a little paper
a little
that
card.
Tells you how to order it, and you go online and do it, or you mail the paper in. And we have a substantial number of usually the older crowd who are not quite up to doing that. And so they call us, we order it, goes. We don't even try and fiddle with that. We just say, no problem. I just ordered you some. They'll be coming to the house in a few days.
Yeah, I think I emailed Denver. Somebody is a woman in Denver. Yep. Now we've become friends. And I just, hey, I need
this.
Yep, I need this size dome with the open port, whatever it is. And and it's good because it just makes it easier.
That's
one
easy.
Less visit I've got to come into, and, and
exactly.
I'm fine with that. But I agree, too. And I'm being one of the older ones nowadays.
As I'm reaching that age.
Yeah, sometimes I do like going and get service that way. And I found that if I've ever had a problem, I've been able to walk in, and because they do a walk-in clinic in many of them for just those reasons.
Yep.
And it's like, I don't know, it's just not working today.
It's just
it keeps
not
going
working.
Out. And they'll take it. They'll go out for 10, 15, 20 minutes, whatever it takes.
Absolutely.
And either they bring it back to me or they say, we're going to have to mail it in. Have you got your backup pair? Why, yes, I do. Okay,
there
we're
you
all
go.
Set.
You're all set.
And so they do. They make it easy, and it's not complicated whatsoever. It's come in and see us, right?
Come in and see us. Tell us what's wrong. Tell us what's going on. Give a call. We have our, you know, the people who answer the phones in audiology departments know what questions to ask.
Good.
And that way they can figure out whether you need a new hearing test and new hearing aids, mm-hmm. whether you've probably just got some wax. So let's have you come in and have the tech clean it out. Or, you know, maybe we need you need to see an audiologist and do some more programming.
Very good. Any last parting things you'd like to pass on?
I don't think so. I think we hit on just about everything. We can do things to help with all of the devices. We mentioned that. Mm-hmm. We can help you out with communication strategies, with the ringing and the buzzing and the clicking mm-hmm. and all the rest of it. And we'll get you hearing aids that you like.
That's wonderful. And you do. You folks do a fantastic job. Again, speaking from experience, I couldn't be happier with what I've been given from the VA.
That's what we hear. And I can tell you, I was in the private sector for a number mm-hmm. of years, and it was good. But there was a lot of contentiousness sometimes. Mm-hmm. The veterans are so grateful.
That's right.
You know, we get you some hearing aids, and you guys are so happy. So we feel wonderful at the end of every day.
Most of the time, we found out what they cost out in town, and
right.
we're like, "Wow!"
And they're saying, "Yeah." A lot of them will say to me, "How much is this going to cost me?" And I will say, "Nothing." Yeah. No. And that's wonderful.
Well, thank you very much for coming in.
You're very
welcome.
Spending
time with us and explaining this piece of the VA that others don't seem to understand sometimes. So we like that it's made clear, and we'll talk to you again sometime, I'm sure, about
all
some
right.
other things. So thank you very
good.
Much. For those of us here at the SITREP, we thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.
You have questions? We have answers. The SITREP is your trusted source for veterans benefits information with expert analysis and interviews with leaders from the field. To find past shows, podcasts, and other content, search hashtag the SITREP on YouTube.
Well, thanks to the VA for that. And actually, we have an encore to follow that. Dr. Ellen O'Neill will be back in just a second. She's going to talk about the issue of tinnitus, or as some people call it, tinnitus, often described as noise or buzzing in the ears. I've represented many veterans that are affected by that. The VA disability compensation rules, if you service connect that, if it's found that that condition in service is due to your service, you get a 10% rating just for that. That's in addition to a rating for hearing loss. So the question is, how does the VA test for and deal with tinnitus? That's what this third tape is all about. So Doug, if you'll please roll the third tape.
And then tinnitus or tinnitus, depending on which doctor I speak with.
Absolutely.
And which day of the week.
And they're both fine.
I speak from experience. I've had that for years and years. Yeah. And for me, it's like sitting inside that audiology booth. That's the noise. I mean, there's times when I'm sitting there thinking that's what I'm doing is taking the test again. Or when I'm in the test sometimes, it's like, oh, is that the real one? Or am I catching something in my ears?
Oh, yes. Yeah, we hear that all the time.
And you all work with that stuff, too.
We work with that stuff, too. So within the VA, there's a program called Progressive Tinnitus Management, which is a couple of classes that you come to. You learn a lot about it, and then you learn strategies for coping. There are certain pieces of equipment that we can help with. The bad news about tinnitus is we can't fix it. What we do is we try and cover it up, or distract you from it in some other way. Sometimes it's as simple as turning on a fan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little white noise.
Little white noise. People say, I do much better in the summer because the air conditioner is loud.
Yeah.
You know, things like that. If it gets really bad, there are devices that we can give you, either noise generators or, you know, fancy things built into the pillow to help you sleep at night. Some people will even wear a device that looks like a hearing aid that puts a different sound in your ear. A lot of hearing aids are both at this point. They're amplifiers and they're maskers. That's the word we use to describe them. So you can flip to a different program and get yourself some relief.
Good. And it is. It's relief. And you're right, because it's if I, you know, in the military, of course, your noise level is at 10.
Right.
You get out, it may be down to a 4 or 5. And that's when, you know, whenever I talk to people, we're doing outreach and we're talking to veterans, I always ask, do you have any of that ringing and buzzing in your ears? Like, oh, I don't, no. It's a yes or no question. You know, no, only on Tuesday nights when I'm watching Pat Sajak and Vanna, or, you know, and it's like, stop, just give me a straight answer.
True.
And it's always, almost always, yes, I do. And it's sometimes, because of experience, I tell them, you know, look, that's how it is usually. You know, when the noise levels up, you may not notice it. It's still there, probably. You just don't notice it. Like I said, it's mass.
It's still there, yeah. So, when we're talking to them, I'll say to them, okay, do you feel like it's there all the time and you just don't notice it when it's noisy? Or does it actually start and stop? And for some people, it does. Mm-hmm. You know, they only get it once a week, you know. And so, and they'll say, yep, it starts, I don't know why, and it goes for a half hour, 3 hours, and then it stops. I don't know why.
Yeah, for some people, it's disruptive for their sleep.
Yes.
They can't get to sleep because, and again, you're in a very quiet spot typically.
Absolutely.
And you're trying to fall asleep, and all of a sudden
you've got this noise in your ear, it's a funny thing when the guys come in for the compensation evals. I should say guys and gals. They come in for the compensation evals, and we ask them the questions, and we'll say, when did it start? And they'll say, well, you know, when I was in Iraq, it was so noisy that it probably was there, but I just didn't hear it.
Right.
It was when I got home that I noticed it. And so it's absolutely true that it's usually a kind of a squishy answer when it starts.
Well, I think people get nervous answering it because they're like, oh, am I going to disqualify myself or am I lying? You know, what am I doing here? So I think, yes.
Exactly.
It's very common. And one of the questions we get asked often is, what test is there that?
So that's an interesting question. So we don't actually test for it. We do a hearing test, and that tells us a lot about what's going on in the ear. Mm-hmm. Because the ringing or buzzing or hissing or whatever sound you hear is caused by the damaged ear. Mm. So what's happening? Your ear is telling your brain there's a sound when there isn't one, because it's not working properly. You can have tinnitus without a whole lot of hearing loss. Mm-hmm. You can have it even with normal hearing if you've been in noisy environments.
Right, sure.
But it's, you know, we can figure out why you might have it. Mm-hmm. We don't actually test for it because it's
There's
subjective.
No
there is no test.
You can't look in there and just see it?
I don't see it.
See that
and
bell
I don't
ringing?
Hear it.
and that's a conversation, I have with veterans. We do outreach. We go into the community. We're talking to veterans. And we get into these conversations, especially.
Yeah.
And that's what, and oftentimes, it's like, well, how do they know if I have? It's through the questions that we ask and talking that we do with you. That's how we'll find out. And your honesty to simply tell us,
that you heard.
I hear something.
Yeah.
And I could still remember, and it was long after I'd gotten out of the Navy even, but I was doing something one day, and I started looking around the room, and my wife was just staring at me like, what is your problem? I said, you don't hear that?
She's
like, what? And I'm like, it's a noise. And it was, she goes, it's you. And I'm like, oh, okay, sorry. I'm going to go up to the VA, I think, and get checked out.
And see if I can figure out what's going
but
on.
But it is, and there's different types of noises for people.
Different types of noises. It's an interesting thing that some of them will come in and they'll say, well, you know, when I was getting out, the guy said, you got any ringing in your ears? And I said, no, because what I hear is a buzz. And so, you know, it's that I try and say, when I ask the question, I try and say to them, do you hear any sounds that you shouldn't hear? And that brings it out. Like, oh, yeah, I've got this clicking. I've got this buzzing. I've got this whatever.
Yeah. So there's various
different
types of sounds. Each individual has
absolutely
their own kind of thing.
Okay. Yeah.
You have questions? We have answers. The SITREP is your trusted source for veterans benefits information with expert analysis and interviews with leaders from the field. To find past shows, podcasts, and other content, search hashtag the SITREP on YouTube.
Well, thank you again to the VA for those three tapes on the issues of loss of hearing and tinnitus or tinnitus. Before we turn to the news, over to Rick Hurley. Rick, any thoughts?
Those are three very interesting audio tapes. Good job, David. I was kind of, you know, I was thinking and kind of chuckling because, you know, you and I deal with this all the time when we're seeking comp benefits for our veterans. And, you know, I always, when a veteran comes to me and says, I say, well, are you service connected for anything? And they'll say, well, yeah, I've got 10% for my tinnitus. And I said, anything else? Well, I was denied all the rest of the stuff. I said, well, that makes sense because the VA tends to, it's only a 10% rating. The check's small, $130-some-odd. And they kind of throw that in and say, okay, here you go. Thank you for your service. Goodbye. Because it is subjective. However, I got to tell you, you know, today I had four hearings, and two of them, the veteran was denied. Both Vietnam veterans denied tinnitus and hearing loss because the VA said that there was no event in service. Both of these veterans were combat veterans, dealt a lot with helicopters, in and out of helicopters. One guy worked the mortar, fired mortars. And when they gave the description to the judge as to what their service is about, I just kind of sat there, my jaw dropped. I'm thinking, why the heck didn't they get granted at least forget the rest of the stuff. We'll deal with that. But it's a no-brainer for the hearing loss and the tinnitus. And to say that there was no event in service. So I guess what I'm saying is it's not as slam dunk, cut and dry as maybe these audio tapes might make it sound because, you know, you and I, again, talked about this prior to coming on the air tonight about the money angle of VA. But if you are involved in a claim, chances are, you get before a BVA judge, it's my experience at this point that a judge is going to grant you the tinnitus based upon, especially if you're a combat veteran, you're in the Air Force, you're working around jets and helicopters and that kind of a military experience. And the same true if you've got hearing loss. So you just got to focus on the high-frequency noise argument. And then, you know, when you get in there and you've got to testify as to the effect it is now, you know, some of the common examples of what my veterans have said, I'm sure, David, you've gotten the same response. You turn the TV up louder than normal, which probably annoys your family, especially your wife, because they can't turn on any other TVs around the house because your TV's so loud. You tend to read lips a lot. You tend to find being in crowds is really annoying because you've got, you know, the hearing loss. And I've gotten that with the hearing aids. A lot of the veterans will tell me, matter of fact, my veteran today told me when he goes into a crowded place like a grocery store, he turns off his hearing aids because they're annoying and it creates as he described today, a very loud, obnoxious noise in his ears that he'd rather just turn it off. So it's a very interesting discussion, and, you know, fortunately, I'm not there yet. How about you, David? Do you have any hearing aids going yet, or because you're a veteran?
Well, I work pretty much indoors, and the times I, in the Air Force, had the occasion to be out on the flight line or in helicopters was certainly not the same as those that worked out on the flight line. It certainly were exposed to noise, but the cases where I see that for hearing loss, where the VA will frequently deny it, is when the first diagnosis of the hearing loss is decades after the noise exposure and or a situation where years after the military service, the veteran's other occupational or recreational noise exposure might also explain hearing loss. You know, if they were around weapons a lot after they left the service, firing weapons, didn't have hearing protection, for instance, or just, you know, for elderly veterans where just aging might explain hearing loss. So those are the kind of cases that where you're really going to need an audiologist to provide the so-called nexus opinion, the connection between the hearing loss diagnosis, tinnitus diagnosis, and service.
But, I have a question.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and this is just taking things in a different direction completely because I like to think kind of outside of the box. But as a meditator, generally I meditate to a frequency, a sound. You ever hear the sound of silence, the meditation, the sound of silence? It kind of goes in the back of your head. Sounds like, but really high. And I can concentrate on that, and I can hear that sound. And I'm sure that we can all imagine an imaginary sound. You think in terms of what electricity might sound like, really high. And that's a great place to meditate, to go into. So instead of running from the sound, has anybody ever thought of meditating and creating from the sound? Because usually when you do meditation, you imagine the frequency, and then from that you use it. Okay, you're getting warmer, you're healing something, or energy's moving from one direction to another, or you're taking in information from, let's say, everything around you. You got to imagine it, and then you do it over and over again, and after months and months and sometimes years, weird things start to occur. It's almost like being on an acid trip. You're not really on acid, but your brain's starting to release chemicals based on what you're emoting to. And so I wonder, has anybody thought of the idea of utilizing that as a source of meditation, as a cure? Or maybe
that's
going into...
That's a fascinating question, Doug, and I don't know. I haven't studied it enough, but it would certainly be interesting to know whether that approach has been taken. If I understand, your conclusion is that perhaps by incorporating in meditation, the person can then have basically more control over that constant buzzing or noise.
Right, if it does come upon them, they're utilizing it to empower them in a way that they were doing it through their meditation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it becomes a positive. Like, I can pull up that sound now all the time, and it can put me in a place where I want to because I did the meditations for so many years. So it empowered me, and I was just, you know, it would seem like something that I would just do. I just don't know if it's something that tinnitus people, you know, maybe you just don't want to hear the sound. It's gotten so bad you just don't want to face it. You want to run from it, but I don't know if that would be absolutely the way to go. Maybe just the opposite.
Oh, that's a great point. Go ahead, Rick.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, sometimes tinnitus can also be a cause of migraines.
Right.
It's so bad. As a matter of fact, my veteran today has headache, migraines, and tinnitus, and he was saying that he was complaining about tinnitus, but he was really complaining about the tinnitus because it was causing his migraines and his headaches,
which were
quite severe.
Meditation stops a lot of that. I don't know if you've read a lot about meditation, but what it does is it actually can help a person through that, including the monkey mind, ADHD, a lot of different things that meditation can actually help a person with.
You're right about that. When I used to do a lot of meditation, I haven't done it as much as I probably need to get back to it, but I remember I'd be in a group. And early on, when I'd start doing it, there'd be noises outside of the meditation room. And the noises would be distracting. I remember one time there was a train, and I could hear the train, and it was getting me out of my meditation mood, you know?
Right.
And I asked the lead person, I said, "So what do you do in that situation?" And her response was, "Go with the train."
Right.
"Follow the noise of the train. And focus on that noise."
Right.
And I learned to do that, and you're absolutely correct, and it works. It absolutely works.
Interesting. Thank you.
Well, Doug, that's a fascinating observation you made, and I think that's something that the VA ought to pursue if they're not already. I'm thinking also, you know, the VA is an organization that it helps a lot of people with post-traumatic stress, and they're trying to come up with novel ways to deal with that. But similarly, I would think that as any one organization, the VA probably is the largest in the country that has a population of people that deal with occupational hearing loss and tinnitus. So I would think that the VA ought to be looking into all these things and exploring those and doing studies. So your question's a great one. I'm going to look into it to see what I can find, too, because it is so common. In fact, I've read some statistics that hearing loss and tinnitus are the two most commonly service-connected disabilities. It doesn't translate into a lot of money for veterans, as Rick said. Thank you, Doug. I appreciate
that. Thank you, gentlemen.
Yeah. Okay, we've got some news just before we go to our closing tonight. Rick, this first item of news, if you'd like to run with it,
sure.
It reminds me of a guest that you had or that we had on maybe a couple months ago, dealing with the cybercrime issue and different populations who seem to be disproportionately targeted for that. So if you want to tell us about this first item.
The Department of Veteran Affairs announced last week, September 28, 2021 to be exact, that it is partnering with Cybercrime Support Network to protect veterans who are disproportionately targeted for identifying theft and other online scams. Launching in the fall of 2021, the partnership will provide educational resources that strengthen online security for service members, veterans, and their families, and focus on recognizing, reporting, and recovering from cybercrime. The educational awareness campaign includes public service announcements via Comcast broadcast services and an online portal, fightcybercrime.org, a resource database for those impacted by cybercrime and online fraud, scamspotter.org, a website to help veterans identifying scams and report fraudsters. According to the Federal Trade Commission, in 2019, our nation's veterans lost 44% more in damages to cyber criminals compared to non-veterans, said VA Director, ITT Strategic Communication Office of Information Technology, Reginald Humphreys. This nationwide partnership provides needed education and resources to mobilize the veteran community to help protect themselves from the impact of these crimes. The FTC also stated between 2017 and 2021, the military and veteran community reported over $820 million in losses from cybercrime. The results of these financial losses have a devastating impact on families, careers, and veterans' overall well-being. Our goal is to help veterans from becoming victims of cybercrime, said Interim CEO and Chief Strategy Officer for Cybercrime Support Network, Robert Berta. Together, we are building a support system that will create a space for real change and cybersecurity innovation in the military and veteran community. The partnership includes 33 nonprofit service organizations. Learn more about Cybercrime Support Network's military and veteran program at the website fightcybercrime.org/military/. Again, that's fightcybercrime.org/military/. Back to you, David.
Thanks, Rick. According to a September 22, 2021 press release, U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs Caregiver Support Program is extending eligibility through September 30, 2022, in other words, about a year from now, for veterans who are what they call legacy participants or legacy applicants. Those are those that participate in the past in this Caregiver Support Program or who had applied and been denied, as well as their family caregivers. And this extension applies to veterans who were participating before October 1st, 2020, those who had applied before October 1st, 2020, and those who were accepted in the program after October 1st, 2020. This extension will provide the VA an additional year to conduct required reassessments of this group of people. Now, the Caregiver Support Program was launched with the idea to help family caregivers of severely disabled veterans that will be living at home and that have a family member essentially taking care of them, to allow the veteran to live at home. And the program provides a number of benefits, including education and training, enhanced respite care, counseling, a monthly stipend, financial stipend, which is very important because these family members that are caregivers typically are giving up a job that's needed to pay household bills. There's also CHAMP VA medical eligibility in some cases, as well as certain travel expenses. So it's a very important program, and it reflects the reality that that the burden of caring for many severely disabled veterans falls on the family, and they're, you know, and the VA system isn't fully taking care of that. So this program is very important. It's been extremely controversial because we've had guests in the past that have discussed this, including the late Lauren Price, who was truly a national expert on this, that discussed how the VA essentially seemed to be thwarting Congress's intent. They were knocking people off the program quickly, saying they had so-called graduated, which was a ridiculous concept. They were denying a lot of people that you would think would meet the eligibility criteria. So this program is undergoing continual, it seems, scrutiny by Congress, as well as many veteran groups. So stay tuned, but you can go to the VA website and do a search for the Caregiver Support Program. They also, you can contact your local VA healthcare facility. They'll have a Caregiver Support Program a staff person. Or you can call the National Caregiver Support Line from the VA, and that toll-free number, grab a pen and paper. This is the Caregiver Support Line, is 1-855-260-3274. Again, I'll repeat that. This is the VA's Caregiver Support Program, the Caregiver Support Line, toll-free nationwide, 1-855-260-3274. So it's an important program. Now, Rick, I know we have more news. We'll probably wait to next week. Next week we have two special guests from a major veteran group. It's Swords to Plowshares. They do a lot of great things for veterans, so looking forward to those two guests. Meanwhile, I know you have our weekly reminder on the Coaching and the Care program. Yep.
Let's do that one. The Coaching and the Care program that helps veterans having difficulty transitioning to home life. Returning home can be a tough adjustment, and loved ones can help. Coaching in the Care offers free coaching to help you help your veteran. Give the program a call. That number is 1-888-823-7458. Its hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Again, that number for the Coaching in the Care program is 1-888-823-7455. In addition, I would like to once again remind listeners that if you know a veteran who is suicidal or in a crisis of any kind, the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs also has a veteran crisis line to help. Call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Many veterans have committed suicide because they did not get the help they needed. Help them get the care they need to cope with their problems. Once again, the Veterans Crisis Line can help. That number is 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Back to you, David.
Well, thank you. Well, it's about time for us to go for this evening. I'd like to thank you all for listening to Veterans News Hour here on BBS Radio Station 1. Next week, we'll have two special guests from Swords to Plowshares, a veteran group based in California. So they'll have a lot of great insight about the programs they offer and to help veterans. We'd also like to thank our producer at BBS Radio, Mr. Doug Newsom, and we hope that you'll tune in next week, same time, same station, for another edition of the Veterans News Hour. Until then, stay safe and stay healthy, and we hope you have a great week.
Thank you for listening to the Veterans News Hour with David Corey and Richard Hurley. We hope you found this week's program very informative. Be sure to invite your friends and all the veterans you know to tune in next week when we'll have another great show on veterans issues. Meanwhile, you can listen to our other recorded episodes on the Veterans News Hour webpage on bbsradio.com. Thanks again for listening to the Veterans News Hour.